The following is a presentation of the Wide Open Mic Podcast Network. For information on this and other podcasts, please go to www.wideopenmic.net.
Fellas, don't drink that coffee. You'd never guess. There was a fish in the percolator.
It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator.
There was a fish in the percolator.
Welcome. Fighter, yes, with us, guess.
Should I re-edit that so it's not so slow? Because it takes like 4 minutes to complete that.
It's pretty slow.
I don't care. I love it. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 6 of the Firecats of this podcast on episode 7 of Twin Peaks The Return. You know what? I realize when I'm listening to this, I forget to do one of the most important parts every week. I think because I'm so excited about doing this that I forget to say with me the great Kelly Dillard.
Hi, everybody.
And the great Kevin Pickle Deal.
Hi, everybody.
And, yeah, man, I usually we record right after, but with Father's Day and everything, we just decided to wait till Monday. So it's Monday now. We've had a chance to kind of dissect it over the night. I've watched it twice. How many times do you watch it, Pick?
I've only watched it once so far.
How about you, Kel?
Twice.
Oh, Pickle's behind. Mr. I've watched every episode 6 times.
Well, I go back and rewatch the entire season up until the episode, so, yeah.
Mr. Man. Last week's was the first one that I'd only seen once, and I don't know why. I don't know if, I think part of the reason is I'm so, like, backed up on all the rest of my TV shows. Like, I haven't started Fargo. I haven't started Better Call Saul. I like
Fargo finale's tonight, dude.
See?
Finale's this week. I think Saul finale's tonight.
Man, I just finished The Americans. So, and I haven't even started, I'm Dying Up Here, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That show looks great. You watch it?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it when I was folding laundry last night, getting ready for Twin Peaks. I didn't care for it.
But I was a professional.
It was unfunny.
I was a professional stand-up comedian for a time, so I probably would relate a little more. I saw like 5 seconds of it when the guy, I don't know, he went on stage, told a joke, he bombed, and then he came off stage and beat up the guy before him. I don't even know what it was about. It's like, you made fun.
Seems like they try to make some drama in it.
Yeah, and you know what?
Let me tell you.
Like, I can relate with a lot of that stuff. Like, I've told stories on our other podcast, Gunner and the Pistols podcast. I've told stories about, you know, weird drama stuff. I've told the TJ Miller story where he came in, stole my slot. And then, like, 3 years later, I heard him on another podcast, I think on Nerdist, one of the Nerdist shows, talking about how Dane Cook stole his spot. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I like TJ. Good guy. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Twin Peaks. So you said
one this time.
Now, you know what, Kel, you did say that you want to go back and talk about episode 6 a little bit.
Yeah, just something remember you said, and I kind of thought about it a little more. You remember when they showed the poll? That was the same poll from the trailer park.
Yeah, it had different numbers.
And you said that maybe, you said that, you know, maybe the kid's soul went in there or something. And I figured it out, I think, anyways. I feel like maybe the electricity, it made that noise. It was sucking up the pain and suffering from the mother. Instead of the kid's soul, maybe it was sucking up her pain and suffering. Garmon Bozia.
Do you think that Harry Dean Stanton's character, who last week I was so proud because I wrote it down, and this week I don't have it written down in front of me, but you think his character kind of knew that that was going to happen, and so he went to that spot at that time? Or no?
I don't know. I don't know why he went over there. Maybe to comfort the mother or something, but didn't really do much. I did one say... Oops.
I was just going to say, did you catch what Homeboy's girl's name was?
Which girl?
The one who's living off the government.
Oh, what was it?
Linda.
Linda as in the secretary, yeah, Linda?
Trailer
Park Linda, that's her name. Remember Giant said to watch out for Richard and Linda?
Was he Richard, though?
Well, we've got Richard Horn, and we've got Linda in the trailer park. That's what we've got. Because remember the guy went with him to drive to town, and he was talking, they were just chit-chatting about whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, what was the name of the guy that, well, spoiler alert, that Mr. C got out of jail? The guy?
Ray.
Okay, it was Ray. That's right.
How many times did you watch this episode?
I did something. Actually, of all of the Twin Peaks, the one thing that probably I paid the least amount of attention to, because I never liked it. Well, not that I didn't like it, but I didn't care about it at the time, was the first part of Fire Walk With Me. Like, I always was like, put it on and just couldn't wait till they got to Twin Peaks. But now that, you know, we're full-fledged into this universe, I'm like, you know what? I want to go back and just watch the Jeffers stuff and Kiefer Sutherland and all that stuff. And so I went back and rewatched it, and I found some cool, interesting stuff that I never caught before. Like, for example, the, so I don't know. I'd like to get your guys' opinion on this before we dive into this week's show. So the ring, apparently, Stanley, is that his name? Agent Stanley?
Kiefer?
Which is the one that disappeared?
Chet Desmond.
Chet Desmond. Yeah. So Chet Desmond found the green ring under the trailer park and disappeared, correct?
Yeah, well, he found it where the trailer was supposed to be.
Yeah. And so
the trailer disappeared.
He disappears. Cooper has a dream. In that dream is the Garmon Bonzia thing with Michael J. Anderson, the man, you know, and all the other characters in the room at that time in the lodge. So did Chet Desmond, like, become, what was the word that they used when you die? Unexistent?
I don't think that's what dying is, but I don't know. I wrote that down, too.
Non-existent? So, I mean, what, isn't it safe to say that that's maybe what happens? Like, because the green ring, there's something with the green ring.
Well, you know, Teresa Banks was wearing the ring, and then she was murdered by Leland. And so the ring just shows up again under the thing. So I think the ring is a source of maybe evil.
So how did Laura had the ring? How did she get the ring? Annie didn't give her the ring, did she? In the dream.
She woke up and it was in the, remember they're like, don't take the ring. And she wakes up and there it was. She starts freaking out.
After that same dream with Annie, right?
I think so.
So then that's how she got the ring. And then she dies. And then Coop gets the ring from the giant, right? I know. How did Coop get the ring? Isn't that the ring that Coop gave to the... Because remember, his ring disappeared? Was it a green ring, that same ring? Was that a different ring?
No, I think that was Caroline's ring.
Yeah, it was the same ring.
It was a ring that was very special to him.
So did Coop ever get the ring? Did anyone get the ring? Did anyone get the ring after Laura? But before Dougie? Between Laura and Dougie, did someone else we know have the ring?
I think that it was in the lodge.
With Cooper?
So Coop never had the ring.
No, just and then Dougie. Okay. But there is definitely a ring theme here. You know, we've got the ring with the giant and Cooper. You got the ring that was inside of Major Briggs' body.
Maybe Major Briggs' body.
The green ring. You know, so you kind of and then you know Nadine had her ring. You know, we're all looking at rings. You know, so that's there's a cool thing to kind of to look at there.
Interesting.
You know, before this episode started, I was thinking that I really wanted to see more of the Great Northern, which it actually my wish came true. So, yay! And then, you know, if you want to start talking about it, you know, we can.
Well, let's. Anything else to say about anything before we dive into episode 7?
It was awesome. I mean, I've been thinking about it constantly, and I loved it. So I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yeah, you need to go back and see the Missing Pieces, Gunner.
Yeah, you know, I tried finding it on YouTube, and I could not find it. So I don't know. It's on the Blu-ray, right?
I think so.
On the Fire Walk With Me Blu-ray? Is that what it is?
No, I think it's on the that complete series thing, isn't it, Kelly?
Yeah, it's got like its own disc.
Oh, I don't have that because I have the first disc. I have the first season and the second season, but I never bought the complete box set. So it's not. You said it's on YouTube, right? I'll just have to find
some of it.
Oh, they don't have the whole thing on YouTube? I'll find it. I'll find it somehow. All right, well, let's dive in. The first scene, we get Jerry lost looking for his car. I love that scene, but found it odd. Like, that scene would be a good palate cleanse, you know, like in between some, you know, rough scenes. Because there's some rough scenes in here. But I thought it was a great way to open it as well. I love Jerry.
I love when obviously he's like, I think I'm high. And then he's like, I don't know where I am. He was like, really scared.
Your car is stolen. You know it too? Like, that was pretty odd. I think that's a nod. Jerry's whole character now is a nod to the fact that Jerry could not be a stoner back in the 90s. Like, he was all...
I like how they're all stoners. I mean, if you look at them, they all look like dirty hippies.
Yeah. So
I'm sure we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there was any deeper meaning to that scene. Do you, Kel?
No.
Yeah,
I
think it was just a let's have fun within the sandbox with these guys.
Yeah, everybody wants to see Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, we love Jerry. We love Jerry. Pothead Jerry.
Yep.
You know, he's had more screen time already than he did in the first two seasons.
I don't know. He really loved that bread. He was. So, all right. Well, then we come to, let me just say right here. Hold on. We'll use this. See this? We're going to pretend this pen is a microphone. Yeah, I just dropped it. Because whose house? Gunn's house. Who called last week that those pages were Laura Palmer's diary entry about the dream she had with Annie?
I think everybody in the world.
I think we all did.
No, I had it. Well, I think everyone assumed it was diary entries.
I thought it was just phone book ads.
So we got the Hank, the Hawk, and Frank Truman talking about the pages.
Where's the missing page?
But they're wrong about how they got there, though.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
Because he wasn't in the bathroom. He was in the interrogation room. Oh, Philip Gerard's in the daggum bathroom going, ah, it's crazy shit. So it was him.
How did he get it all the way down there?
You think Gerard?
He's only got one arm. He's like all the way down. It's like he has, obviously, it's magic.
Well, let me ask you this. Why hide those pages? Like, I could see the one page, because it said there were three pages that they found. The one page I could see where she talks about knowing that it's Leland. I could see him hiding that page. Mm-hmm. Second, mm-hmm. Why would they hide that stuff about Annie? Which leads me to believe it wasn't Leland. It was someone...
Just happened to be on the same page. They were lazy. He only had one arm.
Yeah, but there were three pages. So
There were four pages.
Well, no, there were three, but one was double-sided, I think.
They still said there's one missing.
There's three of four pages missing out of the diary.
But why would they hide that entry about him being in the lodge unless Mr. C's the one that hid it? I mean, maybe Mr. And here's the other thing. How could... Is that the diary with the homeboy that killed himself? Or was that the separate diary she had at her house? Because Leland found it, that second diary, and tore out the pages.
He said it was the one from Harold Smith.
Yeah, I know, but how would they know that? How would they know that that was the one?
Maybe because they found his body?
Or maybe because the handwriting, I guess you could think that too. I just don't... Like, who could have gotten that, if that's from Harold Smith, how would anyone else get it from Harold Smith? Unless it was, because who was there? Donna and Maddie and James? I mean, was anyone else there?
I don't know. Maybe they'll tell us.
Just this awesome trio.
Oh, jeez.
I think he just wanted to segue into that song.
Just for you, Count.
Try to get James' name out there.
All right. So, I mean, yeah. Pick, what do you think? How did those pages get there? How did they get them from Harold Smith? How did they get them in the stall? When did all this happen?
Do you think maybe the pages were torn out before Harold Smith now? Oh, wait, because didn't Laura and Fire Walk With Me see that the pages were missing? So she must have given it. Yes, that's what it is. She gave it to Harold Smith. She says, here's my diary. Keep it for me. I might not see you again. And then she left. She
so you don't think you. So, okay. So Harold didn't.
Boom. Knowledge.
Harold didn't write the journal like he did for Donna. Harold just kept the journal, you think?
Yeah.
After she noticed those...
He was writing down some of the things for her, you know, when she would come visit. But I think that the one that... Because she went back behind her nightstand or wherever it was, and she got it out, and she had, you know, she was looking in it, and then she got really scared because the pages were missing. I think it was like that night that she died, or was it the next night? I think it was that night, because didn't she go out, you know, meet James and all that night?
Meet who?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Who did she meet?
He's cool.
Sorry.
Not.
James has always been cool.
No, he's not.
So who took it, Kelly? You think it was? Maybe it was Leland. I think you're right, though. I think that's why she brought it to Harold Smith, because I guess I always assumed she had two journals. But now that we're talking it out on the air, I think you're right.
Well, Leland, you know, was hunting the journal. I know that. Did he ever find it?
Well, who tore the pages out?
Bob.
Which would have been Leland, right?
Yeah. Here's a question I got about the whole damn thing. Okay, so Bob / Leland killed Teresa Palmer or Teresa Banks, and he also killed Laura Palmer, blah, 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 blah. All this is, why are they going out of the Twin Peak area? You know, I mean, like, if that's the evil that the woods have had all these years, et cetera, the evil spirits that the Bookhouse Boys have fought, why are they branching out to Rio de Janeiro and New York?
If you were getting a hooker, would you get one in Charlotte?
North Dakota.
If you were getting if you were still married and you were getting a hooker, would you get one in Charlotte, or would you go to Asheville or something place far away and get a hooker? I think I personally would go somewhere else, where I'd be less likely to be
caught. I ain't gonna go to Rio de freaking Janeiro.
Yeah, but I think Leland liked Teresa Banks because he said that she looked like his Laura.
Yeah.
But as far as the other stuff goes, I don't know. Maybe it's because there's portals there to the lodge. Mm. Or there's been Blue Rose cases in those towns.
I still think the floodgates are going to open.
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, I think the floodgates are just going to open. So, after this scene, we get another scene right afterwards with Frank talking to Harry.
Sad.
Very sad. No, I did write down a question. I wrote down a couple questions for this, but Pick, why do you think they're I don't want to say wasting our time because it's not, but why do you think they're giving so much time yeah, to Harry? Like, I mean, why not just Harry's dead, you know? Why are they taking us on this journey? Is it because maybe Lynch feels that, and am I overthinking this, that Inetka pulled his heart out because he doesn't want to come back? And so he's going to slowly, you know?
I don't know. I think the character was huge for the first and second season. So, I mean, it's like he was there at the end, you know, waiting for Cooper to come out. And then when, you know, Bad Cooper, I guess, came out, and then, you know, I mean, the whole series, this was Harry and Cooper. So I feel like, you know, he's paying homage to him in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to, well, he's dead, his brother took over.
No, not if he's paying homage to him.
Yeah, but if maybe, I don't know, wouldn't you be upset? It's not like Inetka quit acting. He's still an actor. He just doesn't want to be in the show. I mean, I want him to turn.
Oh, really? I thought he retired.
He was in something like last year, I think. I want to say that. And I believe if he wanted to, they would have found something for him in Fire Walk With Me. Michael and Nick. My internet is slow. I'm trying to look it up. But I thought he was in something like 2 years ago.
I thought he retired. That's why he wasn't doing it. It's like he was officially retired. I don't know.
Yeah, so that was a very sad... Oh, here we go. We got it. That was a very sad scene, I thought. He was in 2011. He was in The Descendants, so... Maybe he did retire. 2003, that was a while ago, huh?
You said 2011.
Is that what I said? What did I say? Yeah, 2011, sorry. So, all right, well, I could see that then. Just my question.
Shit together, man.
So let's move along. We get Andy talking to the guy in the truck. Now,
who is that guy? Why was he so nervous?
I think, I don't know. I don't know if we saw the truck or not, but was that not the truck that...
Yeah, that ran the kid over.
Yeah, that ran the kid over.
Definitely.
And then I think Homeboy was like, dude, get out of here, because I'm gonna die if you stay around, you know?
But who would kill him? That's why he's telling
Andy to get away.
Obviously, Johnny Horn. Wasn't it Johnny?
Richard Horn
Johnny's her brother. Is that what they
Richard get? Horn or Red? Yeah, Johnny's right.
Yeah, Richard was high on that sparkle stuff, and then he was like cleaning up the kid's, you know, blood off the truck, and he was really, you could tell that he was visibly upset, obviously. But I can't imagine him going to that house and like going in and like threatening to kill people yet. I don't know.
If your life was on the line, where you're there's a chance you're going to jail, you're probably going to kill someone, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe that's what Sparkle does. Maybe that's why that one guy, Baltzar Getty's character, is so weird.
So, I don't know, Pick. Was it just me, or did that house remind you of Leo Johnson's house, Leo and Shelley's house, where that truck was? Or maybe it was just because there was a truck.
Maybe because it was like kind of cruddy looking.
Leo and Shelley's house was going to be a mansion. They were working on it.
Yeah,
it was brown. It was brown though. It wasn't white.
That's true. Maybe
he could have painted it, but I don't think it's the same house.
No, I don't think it was the same house. It just kind of reminded me of it.
Oh yeah.
So. All right. So yeah. So that's all I really got. I mean, we come back later and the guy didn't show, which I didn't think he'd show. But yeah, I think that's all because Balthazar. I think he's like the low man on the totem pole. He works for Richie Horn. What's his name?
Richard.
It's also Richard Horn, like his grandpa, we're assuming.
That's Ben Horn.
Oh, that is Ben Horn. You're right. The hell's okay. What? What show am I watching? You know what? It's Richard Beamer.
I think Beamer. You might want to get some Ginkgo biloba or St. John's Wort.
Well, did y'all read the theory about Red being a grandson
of
from Firewalk with Me, the magician?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. I don't know. What do you believe it, Pick? Is that where you're leaning?
I don't know. That's just interesting.
That would make the kid evil, though. I never really got like a bad vibe off of him. It was just weird, you know. So I don't know if it's
remind me.
I mean,
who's the magician? Is that David Lynch's kid? The kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Why would it be his grandson then? Wouldn't that just be his son?
Well, no, that was Tremont's grandson. Remember?
Yeah, Tremont.
They lived in the Tremont, whatever her name was. They lived in the trailer park.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they lived right next to Harold Smith, too.
Yeah.
And Lynn Shea.
And you said they're close to people who die.
That wasn't Lynn Shea.
It is Lynn Shea.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Dude. What? The grandmother?
Yes. Lynn Shea is in like Dumb and Dumber and
as in like the
something about
owner
Mary
of New Line Home's wife? Yeah, her.
No, that's the lady from Happy Gilmore. That's not Lynn Shea. I don't
Is it not?
No.
You might be right there, Gun.
It's the grandma from Happy Gilmore.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're right.
For
you're
the
right
second there. Time today.
Okay, and Chad is Chris O'Dowd, so whatever.
Yeah, that's Francis Bay.
Yeah, well, you know, even gods make mistakes.
She passed. She's oh, that's right. She was in the Karate Kid. She was like in that scene. Yeah, she's in. I remember her. She was on the beach, Karate Kid.
Okay, so let's hurry up and get to this next scene because. We get some fun stuff to talk about. Really fun stuff.
We'll move on. Warren Frost is back. Doc Hayward on Skype. I thought Harry's desk was badass, but...
Heck yeah.
That was
a little James Bondish.
That was a that scene was a little.
I think that kind of shows us a little bit that how, you know, everyone's talking about how there's cords on the phone that you haven't really seen anybody with a cell phone and like what time period it is. But that really, you know, he lifted that up and they're on Skype. It kind of was like, okay, this is definitely modern times.
We should have Skyped in with old Doc Hayward.
So. What was his handle?
Yeah.
His handle again?
Didn't catch his handle.
Was the whole purpose of that scene just that Warren Frost couldn't make the trip in for whatever reason? And so he's like, Lynch is like, well, we'll just Skype you in and shoot it. Or do you think Or do you think there was a point to actual Skype? What do you think?
My guess is that he couldn't make it, but
yeah, I don't think that there was anything there other than that.
You think we'll see Warren Frost again, or Doc Hayward?
He looked like he was at Bonnaroo.
No, because at the end of the credits it said dedicated to the late Warren Frost.
When did he pass away? I thought he was still alive.
Oh.
What? No.
Well, I thought that's what it said. I'm pretty sure.
I hope not. I didn't know that one.
He died. Yeah, February 17th, 2017. Wow.
How about that?
Well, that sucks.
Drop the knowledge again.
Killing on a roll.
Wow. I didn't realize Warren I didn't realize that he passed away. He did. He narrated the audiobook. He was one of the people on there.
Yeah, so what he told the sheriff was he was there and he was acting strange, and he took him to the hospital, and then he saw him sneaking out from the ICU dressed, and he had this strange face that he had seen before, which I think is Bob, which is, I think that's why they had him on there, was so that he could identify that Bad Cooper had Bob with him from the lodge. Although we already knew that. But
I found it
for Hawk and the sheriff to know.
I found it odd that they didn't mention that he rammed his head into the glass, or even, you know, that he accidentally slipped and hit his head on the glass.
Maybe that's what they're talking about with strange and acting strangely and then taking him to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's kind of weird. He fell and hit his head. And
is that when Mr. C snuck in and impregnated the girl in the coma?
I don't know about that. I'm nervous. I don't want to say that could be real, but
I don't want it to be true.
It's not, you know, something other people are talking about that too, and I'm just like, oh God, I don't know if I could handle it. Bob's love baby with Audrey.
Yeah, I don't think that's Audrey's son.
They look just alike.
I think they're trying to make it seem like it is, you know. So I don't ever put any stock or investments in anything with this show.
I think it's Johnny's son. Why not?
It's a good. I mean, it could be anyone's son. It could be somebody else that lives there named Horn.
Johnny.
It could be the other Horns from the other side of town.
Yeah.
It could be Peter Horn, who we haven't met yet.
Yeah. So we move on. We now have that scene with Lieutenant Knox going to meet up with South Dakota police people?
Yeah. What's the chick's name again?
Lieutenant Knox.
Jane Addams?
Yeah, the other one. Not her real name. I mean, her character name.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But it's Jane Addams.
Jane Addams.
We're pro.
I think they're saying that she's going to be like the new Albert.
Yeah, well, she kind of is. So we find out
she's not as gritty.
No,
I don't think she's as gritty. Yeah.
No,
she's
but
more
she,
like fun, funny.
Yeah, she's like the opposite of Albert, the exact opposite. Yeah.
Albert's so deadpan,
mm-hmm.
Dry humor. I love it.
He talked about almost getting the flu or getting or walking pneumonia.
What was that one thing that he said that Scott Bradford used to say all the time, Kelly? Look, it's trying to think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I used to laugh every time this guy said it because he sounded like a dumbass. But I was like, "You're not Albert." Anyway, sorry.
So we find out that Major Briggs I guess it's referenced earlier that the fingerprints have shown up all over the place, but now we have a body, and in fact, a 40-year-old body.
What?
Yeah, Major, that body without...
Was it before or after he was floating through non-existence?
Well,
They
said that that body was a body of a 40-year-old with Major Briggs' prints. So could that be...
Couldn't they just the body?
What? What'd you say, Pick?
Couldn't they have just frozen?
Well...
So do you think that they kept Major Briggs' body frozen for 25 years?
Hey, you know, they could have.
No, because he was in his 60s. Well, let's see. So he would have been in his 50s during Twin Peaks. If he was in his 70s, then yeah, he would have been in his 50s.
Well, they said late 40s to 50s.
Well, so you think he was frozen this whole time? Or could that be Major Briggs' doppelganger?
I'm kidding.
Oh, geez, doppelganger.
Could it be Major Briggs' doppelganger?
Everybody's doppelganger, you know? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how else do you explain...
Do you think that Laura had a doppelganger?
Yeah, Maddie. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So, I mean, what do you think, Pick? What's going on here? Why is Briggs only 45 years... Are you sticking with the Frozen story?
No, the frozen thing was a joke.
There's got to be some other crazy source of magic that, you know, they travel through time, and I have no idea.
Yeah, they did say that time travel was going to be an issue, so I guess.
What was that weird guy in the hallway?
Wasn't that the guy in the cell? The guy from the cell, right?
Yeah,
the guy who turned into smoke.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
He's so ominous.
Maybe that's like, Major Briggs' doppelganger. Or actually, that's probably Matthew Lillard's doppelganger.
Oh, you know, when they were saying that they slowed down, you know, when his head disappeared, that guy disappeared, and, like, his mouth was moving. And I played it over and over again, and I couldn't really tell, but somebody had said he was saying, help him or help me or something like that. Help him.
Who are we talking about?
That black dude that the blackish colored guy that evaporated into the room.
Oh, in the jail from episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So I don't know. I mean, he was in jail and now he's here in the. Oh, what was that? The guy from the convenience store.
He's the evil spirit. I think
above the convenience store is all evil.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out. I'm still going to guess at the end of this series, there's going to be so much crap we don't know about. I don't think they're going to tie up. They'll tie up 25% of the stuff.
Why would he be interested in Major Briggs' body, though?
Who?
Maybe that dude is the one that killed that chick and put his body there. Ruth? Maybe that bearded dude or whatever.
No, I think it was... Well, he might have done it if he is Matthew Lillard's doppelganger, because Matthew Lillard's prints were all over it. So I think Matthew Lillard did it. I think his doppelganger... Someone's inside of Matt. I think that guy in the smoke is inside of Matthew Lillard, kind of like Leland and Bob. And because he said he dreamt that he was...
Did you see his face flip out?
Yeah. Well, he said that he dreamt that he was...
He dreamed he was there.
Which leads me to think that he isn't quite comprehending it yet. So he thinks he's dreaming, but he's actually, you know...
In jail.
No, he's actually was the one... I think Matthew Lillard's the one that actually killed her.
He's in the apartment.
But he doesn't realize... He thinks it was a dream, but it was actually his Bob, whoever that is, you know, taking over.
Maybe, that guy and Bob are like partners now that Mike,
yeah.
Bob Mike.
Very interesting. So then we get a nice like actual couple scenes in a row, a narrative for a while. We haven't had much of that where we've taken certain characters into multiple scenes together. And we got Gordon humming to the birds, and then Albert comes in, and then they go.
No. What was he humming?
thought he was humming.
He was whistling. He was whistling "Du Hast."
Oh,
was he?
My favorite part.
Was he really?
My favorite part of the episode. Yeah, he was. He was doing the. He was doing it slower, but I think that's you know, coming full circle with the Lost Highway. I'm pretty sure it was. Go back and watch it.
I didn't even catch that. Good call, Pick. I just thought he was doing like bird calls. I guess I'm way off. Nowhere near being right on.
Yeah, because Rammstein did some music in Lost Highway, and I think that was his little shout out to them. Personally, there was no way it wasn't Du Hast, because I was like, holy shit, is that Du Hast? But anyway.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But I don't know. I've been wrong.
You've been correct about lots of stuff lately, Kevin.
That's what I'm going to say. I said I've been wrong on all kinds of levels. So maybe Kelly could, you know, listen to it and tell me if that's what it is. Are you familiar with the Du Hast
Mish? I guess.
So, I mean, let's talk about it. So Gordon's there. Albert walks in. They end up going together to Diane's house. And then we'll just continue this whole narrative. Then they
But he did say... Hold on. But before that, remember when he was saying he didn't want to go? Albert was saying he didn't want to go. And then he said to Gordon,
say please.
Gordon said, if you say please, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, Albert said,
Albert said, I'll go with you, I guess. I don't remember. How did that go?
I think he just said, say please or something, or ask me nice, something.
Oh, and he said, what did you say? And he said, you heard me.
You heard me. Yeah.
Is that his shtick, you know, as an investigator? Like, he uses that hearing thing to distract people from, like, his real investigative skills. Like, he can't hear. He can't hear, so he can hear what everybody else
is. He uses it to pick up Shelley, too.
It's interesting.
Let's talk about Diane for a second, since we get another glimpse of her life. I mean, obviously something happened with Coop, which we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yeah, she's really pissed off.
Is it just me, but did Diane remind you of anyone we know, Gunner?
With the hair?
Oh, with the fuck off. I was like, oh, okay.
Who?
Sorry, Kelly, but all I can think of is, you know, when you get mad, that's how you turn in.
Really?
Yeah, when you get mad. When you get on
what? Kevin? My attitude is not your fucking problem.
Okay.
Great. Now I have to label this explicit and we won't be played in China. Thanks, guys.
I'm just teasing anyway.
I know.
Are you getting you pull it up, Kevin?
I did. Well.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like it, but then it goes into that little thing. Okay, whatever.
Well, we know that Lynch is all about the music.
Yeah.
So she was getting some action, and then they showed up, right?
I thought that guy was gay. That dude? That guy wasn't gay?
Yeah, the young guy?
I thought he was gay. Because he, like, did the whole
pinky. Well, he was putting his jacket on, like, he was.
I felt
in the scene that she had just been with him because he was putting his jacket on and she was wearing a robe.
But he did that bye-bye pinky wave thing. He was very flamboyant.
Well,
he was very attractive, so that might be why a lot of people think gay people or gay dudes are attractive, and they are. A lot of gay dudes are like, oh, you're so hot. God, I wish I had a penis.
I can't get past Diane's hair. I think because of that promotional photo with her and Kyle and David Lynch in the car, like, I can't get, because she looked normal in that picture, and now she's got that wig on. I'm assuming it's a wig. I don't know. I don't like it. Does that bother you at all, Pick?
A little bit, but, you know, Cooper described her as, you know, a cross between someone from Cabaret. a cabaret dancer and something else when he described her in the book.
Mm. But so, he also he did say that it was her former boss that they came about, you know, which was obviously Dale Cooper.
So let's talk about that. So obviously something happened with the FBI. Something happened with the FBI because she's not just pissed at Coop. She's pissed at the FBI too. So did Coop somehow set her up and she went to jail for a little while? Did that, and then eventually got resolved? Did Coop sleep with her? You know, I mean, what do you think happened, Kel? Why is she so angry at not just Coop, but the whole FBI?
Well, I wrote down rape because I got really emotional during that scene. I mean, I'm just kind of skipping ahead a little bit because there's
no, that's a scene we're at that whole juncture.
Yeah, I wrote a couple other things down about what he did with Tamara Preston's finger. But, she said, you know, at your house. She's like, when did you last see me? When did you last see me? And he said, at your house.
That night.
She's like, I'll never forget that night.
No, he said, at your house.
Who's doing his voice? Like, how is that happening?
Kyle's probably just doing it, or they're slowing it down a little.
Oh, God, it's so creepy. And I really did feel like, you know, that was what they were insinuating.
Yeah, but I thought that too, but then why would she be mad at the FBI? Like, why'd she be mad at Gordon and Albert?
Well, maybe because her boss raped her.
Yeah, but I don't think.
And then they probably tried to cover
it. It probably wasn't fun, you know.
Oh, you think they tried covering it because it
sometimes my arms bend back.
They probably took his side over it because, you know.
Yeah, but they haven't seen Coop. At least that's what I got.
How would Dale Cooper, you know, rape somebody? How is that possible, you know?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere he set her up. But yeah, I mean, rape is the obvious choice, but nothing is obvious on Twin Peaks. So
let me go back here a little bit because I wrote something down that kind of makes me think about what you just said. You know, he said, he needs to talk to her. They found Dale, and it's something you know about, and that's all we're going to say about that. So Gordon is talking to Diane. He said, you know, you have to see him, and this is serious, whatever. It's about something you know about, but we're not going to talk about that. Yeah. That also kind of, you know, insinuates that might be, you know, a sensitive subject for her. But another thing... he said Gordon was in there with Tamara Preston, and he's like, show me your hands. And then he's going, it's Yerev, or however you say it.
It's good to
very,
see you.
Very, very good to see you, old friend, or whatever. And he said, this is your spiritual finger. So that was when he said Yerev, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the finger that he said that on, which would mean that that's a spiritual finger that's backwards. So maybe he's thinking that his spirit is backwards, showing another thing that
like, you know, a mirror image.
Yeah,
because he takes the hand and he turns it over, and it's like a mirror image, like, you know, the doppelganger slamming the head in the mirror. That's how I looked at it.
Wait a minute, I want to go back for one split second. So you think that Doc Hayward saw Bob's face in the mirror?
I think he saw him in Cooper's face because he said he made a strange... He looked back at him and he had a strange face. I saw
missing
that...
pieces.
He said, I saw that strange face.
Oh, was that missing pieces?
Before.
Yeah. Well, there's a more elaborate scene. They have the after part of where they come in and find him.
Oh, cool.
bleeding and talking about, you know, stuff and whatnot.
Oh, that he it struck him as funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it struck him funny.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, but the way Dale Cooper is talking to the FBI and Diane, he's talking like, I remember that well. But when he talks to like the other people, like the guard, he's like, okay, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna tell the warden that I need to talk to him. He's like, yeah, right. He's like, tell him what's about strawberry or something. He didn't sound.
I'm going back to what I said a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, that's when he's behind the glass is when he's really weird.
I think he's when he's doing that stupid slow voice, I think he's trying to be Dale Cooper. Whereas when he's talking to everyone else, he's trying to be Mr. C.
Yeah, I can see that, but. It's not working. It is awful.
Yeah. So, we can move right along. I mean, we don't have to talk about the guy not showing with Andy, but let's go back to the whole scene with the warden. I love the warden because he was like the main narrator in the Secret History, the audiobook. So I get excited when I see him. I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. He's the narrator.
Yeah, what he was talking about in that room was way... off. I'm like, who the heck is he talking about? Do you know who this guy is?
I mean, obviously, it's just he's got dirt on him.
Yeah, but you see that pin in the back of his head
I always thought that was a bald spot. I don't think it's a pin, but
it's something. It's a round something that's in his head. I saw it.
I've seen it a bunch. I just assumed it was a bald spot.
Okay, so
because maybe that's where the spirit.
He was talking about...
Because you know how they say that the spirit comes out from the back of your head? That's why in Pulp Fiction, Ving Rhames has the Band-Aid back there. That's probably the spot where the spirit comes in and out of Coop's head. That's why he's got that bald spot.
I don't think
you got my back on that pick, right?
It could be just a hair... It could be a hair clip, you know?
I don't know. It's pretty prevalent there.
You don't think it's a bald spot?
Sticking right out.
It's very small, and then there's no other bald spots around it. It's not thin at all. It's just like a little white dot on the back.
Yeah, but that's all you need for a spirit to get in and out. But I guess Leland never had one that we can remember.
His whole head turned white.
Yeah. So, anything else with Mr. C and the warden? I mean, obviously he was just blackmailing
all this stuff.
Oh yeah, what do you got?
All kinds of stuff on Mr. C, dude.
Well, I mean, if the whole thing is just that he bribed him to get out of jail, that's my takeaway. So if you guys got more, please share. Go, Kel.
Yeah. So he was talking to the warden about the dog leg that he found in the car, and he said the other three legs went out. With the information you are thinking about right now.
Yeah, I think all that is just pointing to the fact that I've got dirt on you. And if I'm not released, then...
Yeah, he said his name. I know, but this is what we have to think. We have to think about this stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think it's relevant. I don't think it's relevant to anything except to getting Mr. C out of prison.
You don't?
No.
I mean, everything we're talking about is relevant. Richard and Linda, the numbers, all this other stuff. It's electricity.
Yeah, I just think he did something bad.
And he just like...
I don't know. Maybe I'm just like... I don't know. What do you think, Pick? Whose side are you on, me or Kel? You think that that's...
I don't understand what y'all are even arguing about.
Well, no, we're not arguing. I just think that that whole scene, all that information with the dog legs... I don't think any of that will come back into the story. The whole point of that was Cooper just to get Mr. C out of prison.
Bad Cooper's talking about getting the information in the first episode. Like, somebody's got information. That's why he's trying to get to Ray. Ray has the information that he needs, so.
No, I'm...
Yeah, that he got from Hastings' secretary.
Yeah, remember, that's why Hastings' secretary was killed. Because to get that missing information, which whatever the hell that is.
And Ray is Matthew Lillard, right?
I think it's supposed to be coordinates to the black...
Lillard is Bill Hastings.
Oh, that's right.
Because remember when Cooper shot her, he said that you've done a great job being human or whatever, or playing human. And then he shot her.
Hmm.
What was that?
I just think he didn't need her anymore.
All of it is relevant.
Well, in our minds, we've waited 25 years. Every cell of the film is relevant.
I have to hear everything. You know, it's like if he says, I shit my pants, I'm like, okay, why did he shit his pants? You know, it's fun. It's fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think then after that is... they go to Ducky, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're done with that whole thing? Or do you have more?
The warden?
Yeah, is there any, you're done with that scene? Or do you have more?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think he's just creepy, you know? That's all.
So I thought we were gonna go a whole episode without seeing Dougie. Well, then we see Dougie, and I will say it because I get crap because I don't say Janie E. I just call her Naomi. For Naomi Watts, but Dougie getting the cops with David Koechner. Good to see Koechner. Fortunately, like all of the awesome,
yeah, I like him.
All of the awesome actors I was excited about being in the show, besides Naomi Watts, like it seems like they're just one and done throwaways. You know, Koechner, Ethan Suplee, Jeremy Davies, you know, Jim Belushi, Robert Knepper. Like, I just feel like all these guys are one and dones.
Tom Sizemore.
Sizemore's at least been in a little more. He's been in three episodes. He's the next level. If the one and dones are level one, Sizemore's level two. I don't even think we're done seeing him. I think he'll have a important part. But yeah, but
he heard the police were coming. He was like, I think I make a phone call.
I love that scene. That was
scary,
great.
scary.
So do you think Janie E, or Naomi, whatever you want to call her, do you think she's just kind of loving this new, like, effed up Dougie because she's like the boss for a change? Or do you think she's always kind of bossy with him?
Well, I mean, he's like way hotter than he was. He's like lost a bunch of weight. His hair looks great. And now the Dougie before was hideous. He had a big old fat belly, and he had a weird old, like, Donald Trump-looking hair.
Hey, Jade still gave him a ride.
Can you imagine if you had to ride that shit every night?
Jade gave him a ride.
And then she was mad. Did she care if it was Dougie?
Not, I don't know.
A real Dougie? But, yeah, there's some people out there saying that this is just a dream world, you know? And it, you know, I don't know.
Is she anything more than a 17-year-old whore? Sorry, jumping ahead of myself. And then we get to see the scene with the midget. That scene was awesome.
Ike the Spike.
And we got to see, we got to see Cooper come back. And then the weird scene with the arm telling him to squeeze the finger. Or squeeze the hand. What was that on the
gun? Squeeze his hand off.
What was that on the gun? Was that skin?
Yeah, it looked like skin to me.
Yeah, that was his...
And they said he smelled funny. One of the people they interviewed said he smelled funny too, so maybe he was like dying or something. Maybe he had leprosy or something.
I like that girl, though. She was in... she was on October Road.
When they had
and she was in American Reunion. I like her. I don't remember her name, but every time I see her, I smile because I think she's a good actress. But yeah, she was the one with the little girl. So yeah, I mean, I think we're getting closer.
Kind of looks a little bit like it.
We're getting closer and closer and closer to Cooper coming back. What do you think, Kel?
Sorry. I think he looked like he was, you know, realizing he kind of looked around a lot differently. He wasn't just comatose like Dougie, like, whoa. You know, he kind of had this look like after he did that, like something snapped a little bit in, like, his face. And that what makes him such a great actor right now. You know, I love this. It's so
if he doesn't win Golden Globes and Emmys, it's fixed. Because he's amazing in this. And he's carrying the show. He's the only one that's billed as starring. It's just starring him. Everyone else is just playing with him. So
that's the way it's always been.
No, I don't think so. Not in Peaks. Everyone else had kind of storylines and stuff. No one here really... We're just given glimpse of it. And, I mean, the only people we're really getting stories of are Dougie and Mr. C, really. I mean, no one else. I mean, we've got glimpse. You know, Hawk, we've got a little bit of Hawk. You know, we're just getting the little pieces, but we're getting chunks of everyone else.
We got some more Ben, too.
Yeah, so we go to the Great Northern, which excited me. We get to see Paige again, Beverly Paige. And then we go see her husband in a second, which... I'm not going to lie, when I first saw that, I thought it was Harry. Mm. Just for like a split second. And then I'm like, oh,
I thought it was Leah.
That would have been awesome.
It said his name was Tom, though.
Yeah, it did say Tom.
Then they were there at the place, and they heard that noise, you know, and they're walking back and forth.
I think that's Audrey's.
Kind of like, you could tell there was some sexual tension there.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was a great.
He had his hands up.
But it was sweet tension, I thought.
He had his hands up like this, of like very similar location where her breasts were.
Yeah, but
and he was talking about, close your eyes, listen to the sound.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
And you could tell in their eyes.
I think it was a very sweet scene showing how much he changed after almost losing his daughter. No, I don't buy that at all. I think it was a very, very sweet scene. And I think that noise was coming from Audrey's hidden room.
Why is Audrey in the hidden room? In Johnny's room?
Well, no, because Audrey had that hidden... Remember, didn't she bring Donna to the hidden room?
Yeah.
And showed her?
There's a little walkway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
She could spy in.
So, Pick, what do you think about the fact that we're more than a third of the way through and we still haven't seen Audrey?
It'll get there.
We know that she's coming back, but...
It'll get there.
Well, I think I'm still sticking with my prediction because during that scene, Ben got the key back. And he even acknowledged that that was Cooper's room. So I think that's going to open the door to Audrey finding the key. And Audrey, where'd this come from? Oh, it came from Vegas. She's going to Vegas, and she's going to find Coop, and she's going to wake him up. That's why I don't think that that could be Coop's child, because that kid's bad.
I don't buy that, dude. I don't buy that. I don't buy it, because there's no way they can tell where that key came from.
Sure they can. Look,
the key is sitting on the desk, literally.
Look on the envelope.
There's no postmark.
I'm sure it was... I think, obviously, what I think, Cam, not obvious, but I think what happened was she threw it in the mailbox. The mailman found it, mailed it back to the Great Northern. And so, obviously, they'll get the mailbox with the where it was shipped from. I mean, I think that's, I don't know, to me, I think that that's definitely has to be what happened. I mean, why else? I mean, I think that's what, think that's why we're waiting.
Dale is by seeing videos on the internet of Dougie taking out that dude. That's how they're going to find Dale.
That's a possibility. What do you think, Kel?
Oh, yeah, because there was a news crew there. I think the key is definitely going to play into how everyone's going to find Cooper, but I think it's kind of giving them, you know, oh, huh, this is interesting. You know, I'm going to think about this guy again, and I'm going to, you know, see what's going on.
Well, I just think that we've gone a third of the way through without seeing Audrey, without even seeing a second of Audrey. I think that that means that she's got such a bigger part to play, and I think that she's going to be the one to wake. But you're right. It might just be that they see him on YouTube. But then why would they go through the whole thing about the key? Unless, now another thing I like from this scene was that, and not just on this scene, but we've seen it a couple times, where they talk about Laura's death, and it's like it was gone. You know, what did I write down? Hold on, I wrote down, Laura's death is past. So it makes me think that, you know, we obsess. We, last time we left Twin Peaks, Laura's death was still the number one thing. And we still, it's the number one thing because we see Laura's face at the beginning of every episode. But it's interesting to see these characters not really, and not even that, like, what's her name? Beverly Page, Ashley Judd. She wasn't even aware of Laura's death. So I think that's an interesting point. And so maybe, you know, maybe that's just going to spark up people thinking about Cooper, you know, because of Laura. But at the same time, Hawk and them already have Laura on the mind because they took out the picture. And once again, when Bobby started crying, seeing it made me realize that he probably hasn't thought about Laura in years, which, once again, because Laura's past, the whole Laura Palmer thing, the town's forgotten about it. It's moved on. There's a new Rougeau running the roadhouse. So I don't know. I found that that was my biggest takeaway from that whole scene. So.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else to say about that Great Northern or about Ashley Judd's husband, Cal? Got anything else?
I thought it was pretty shitty how she was yelling at him.
Well, at the same time, it's kind of shitty for him to get all upset because she's at
well,
work.
Well, if I was laid up in a bed with cancer and my dude was out all night with saying he was working, I might be a little pissy too, because I feel like shit. You know, and she gets super defensive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have just been like, hey, how you doing? I love you. If you know, you actually love someone, you're going to be like.
Well, I think the reason why is because she has feelings for Ben Horn,
which is why there was that sexual tension there.
Mm-hmm.
When they were standing close quarters and up next to each other.
But he wasn't the Ben Horn of old who would have just groped her.
Yeah, that might be the case, but it was definitely some kind of playful thing there.
Yeah. So we're almost done with this episode. The only thing really left before we talk about Mr. C's escape is the whole roadhouse scene with the new Rougeau, which I hated that scene. I mean, it's very David Lynch with just, it seemed like 20 minutes of a guy sweeping. But I think that scene is so David Lynch. But, I mean, we learned that is not Jacques Renault, but another Rougeau. Another Renault. I don't know if that'll come in anywhere, but it looks like he's struggling. And we had the whole thing about the teenagers, which was obviously the people that, you know, Richard Horn almost choked out, that girl.
Straight A students.
Yeah, straight A whores. Isn't that what he called her? Tramps? What did he call them?
Yeah, 15 years old.
Straight A tramps.
And he said, you gotta pay me for two.
So, and then, of course, the double R scene where they yelled out, I wrote this down. Looks like I wrote Analosa Billy, but that's not a word. Angela Billy. What'd they say about Billy at the double R? Someone ran in. Anyone see Billy or something?
Oh, at the end of the episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, we don't end at the roadhouse, which is interesting. Seemed like that's going to be a, you know, an ending every week, but this week we don't.
Yeah, definitely, because I was waiting for that. I was like, oh, is there more? And then I saw the credits, and I was like, oh, okay.
So let's... You guys got anything more to say about Mr. C's escape? We kind of talked about it earlier. Anything more? Or are we done with that?
Why do you think he's got Ray out? Because he wants to get that information, right? Because Ray wanted to try to kill him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played the message back that Daria had said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe that whole thing was to get Ray out. Not so much for himself, but to whatever he's doing with Ray. Isn't Ray, I thought the whole thing with Ray was to kill Dougie. Or do you think Mr. C and Dougie's paths have nothing to do with each other?
Everything has to do with everything.
I thought that Daria and Ray were trying to kill a bad Mr. C.
Yeah, because that's what they. That's why he flipped on her, because he heard the phone call, remember?
Yeah. So Ray was in a conspiracy to kill the guy that got him out of prison. Does he know that he knows? Because he was in jail or something, right? He got in jail for weapons across the border or something.
Yeah.
So he might just be thinking, sweet, you know, he got me out. He doesn't know I'm trying to kill him. Because he seemed pretty casual.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pick?
I agree.
Do you agree that he seemed pretty casual there?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's real methodical. You know, everything is just kind of like, there's no emotion with him. You know, I think that's one of the ways you can tell that he's not human. The guy, C, has no emotion. Like, you know, those guys run up on him in that hillbilly house, and he just, you know, breaks him down with a flick of his wrist without, like...
I know, I mean, Ray.
Oh.
Ray seemed really casual about leaving. He's like, sweet, you know.
He don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but he was trying to kill him before.
Probably still trying to. Probably doesn't know that he knows, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, we're cool. I'm out. Yeah.
I'll stop trying to kill you now.
Well, any other final thoughts, guys?
No, just it was a great episode. I was really stoked to watch this one over again. It was awesome.
I'm looking forward to the next one, believe it or not.
I love David Lynch even more than I did before, because Gordon, you could see Gordon a little bit more in this, you know, when he was talking to Diane outside and when
he that's a great scene.
And,
where she said, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Because
he said, is there anything I need to know? And I think he approached her like in a way that was a compassionate way that would make it suggest that Mr. C had hurt her in more than a rape way. Maybe he beat her. I don't know. Who knows?
Someone is mowing the lawn right by my studio window.
It's like 10 o'clock. We're already cutting the grass.
It's not 10 o'clock here. So, well, guys, that's the show for today. Thanks for listening in and joining us. Sorry about last week's show. I don't know what happened. Something where it didn't quite upload correctly. Normally I check it, but when I finished editing, it was like 2 in the morning or something. It was really late. So I apologize for that. But, I guess we'll be back next week, same time. So in the meantime, if you guys want to follow up with us, you can like us on Facebook. We are Wide Open Mic Network. All our stuff's there. You can follow us on Twitter at Wide Open Mic Net. You can like us on Instagram, where Kelly's always putting our faces on other people's bodies. And I still think my favorite one was when you did the Wally Brando one of me, because every time I see the Wally Brando, because that one fit perfectly, and every time I see the Wally one, yeah. I'm taken back, like, wow, that looks weird. So
hello, I did the Wally Brando.
Oh, did you? Oh, Kelly. Well, Kelly posted it though.
Yeah.
Damn, I was trying to get away with getting cred for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, do all that fun stuff. Email us at podcast@firecastwithus.net. Yeah, besides that, thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Any final thoughts, guys? No? All right.
Nope.
Well, love you guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Bye.